Is Jesus the frosting or is he the flower? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. It's said that you can't unbake a cake. The ingredients of sugar, flour, eggs, and butter are no longer available to us separately. They became one batter. Then the transformation really began. Today, Jim will share a number of scriptures that teach the principle of Christ in us, thoroughly mixed, infused, inseparable, and what that means for our relationships with other Christians. He's in John 17.
Let's read verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be said. How? As we are. Now do you see why I wanted to go back to John 5 and John 10? As Jesus was God, based upon the fact that God the Son dwelt in that human body, and as God the Son, being equal with God the Father also lived in that body, in and with God the Son. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is mentioned also in chapter 14, God the Spirit, the three, are going to dwell in us as believers. They dwell in us. We dwell in them. And what God wants is that each of us individually and all of us as believers experience that unbreakable unity that comes or that is expressed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God isn't up there only. God is in here now. Stand in front of a mirror tonight before you go to bed and say that. God is not just up there. God is in here. Right now. God is in here. Right now. And God is just as much in here right now as God the Son was in the Father and God the Father is in the Son. The link between the believer and God is as real and as tight as the link between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that concept becomes the basis of all the teaching about practical Christian living in all the rest of the epistles. Let's read two more verses and then we'll explore that a bit. You're there in John 17. Jesus picks up this theme again in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And remember, that was the phrase, the Father in me and I in the Father, that demonstrated Jesus' claim to be equal with God and to be of the same essence as the Father and one with the Father, so that if you see me, you see the Father. That's the same phrase. Now, let's read it again. That they may be one, unbroken, they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. See, one, 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 one. I think what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to drive home to his disciples as they eavesdrop on his prayer is that as God is three in one, the believer becomes linked with God just as God, Father, Son, and Spirit are linked to each other. And we are caught up and made part of that union by the work of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us. Now, let me show you how this plays out in the epistles, may I? Turn quickly to the book of Galatians. You know the book of Galatians quite well. You can quote, I'm sure. Galatians 1:20, what does Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ what? Christ liveth in me. There it is. Christ liveth in me. That's Galatians 1:20. And Paul there is describing the difference between living the Christian life by grunting or by grace. Grunting is trying to take the works of the law and obey them. Grace is accepting the fact that God in salvation transformed me and came to live within me. The law writer, the law keeper, Jesus lives inside me now. Galatians 1:20. Now look how that's expounded in chapter 3 of Galatians. In verse 27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have been baptized into Christ. That's talking about the experience by which God, the Holy Spirit, literally planted you, put you, immersed you, made you a part of the body of Christ. And in that picture, Jesus is the head. You are part of the body. You are vitally connected to him. He is vitally connected to you. That's what he's talking about there in chapter 3 and verse 27. As many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now drop down to chapter 4, just one more verse. Verse 6, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That means that God has placed us in a relationship with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, which makes us as much a part of Jesus as the Father is a part of Jesus. Do you see that? And then Paul says that since we have been made a part of the body of Christ, are vitally connected to him, we are in Christ, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, God the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, giving us the claim that we are sons of God. And that sonship is so real that we're going to inherit with Jesus Christ all that he inherits. Do you see that? Our relationship with Jesus Christ, then, is one of being fused together. We're not just tacked on. We're not just put up with. We're not just given a pass. We get to go to heaven, not just because we're family, but we get to go to heaven because Jesus belongs there, and we're in him, and he's in us, and wherever he belongs, we belong. Wherever he is, we are. We are in him. He is in us. Just as the Father was in the Son, and the Son was in the Father. That's why we can say without even blinking that when you're saved, friend, you're saved forever. Nothing can ever separate you. God has taken up his residence inside of you, and he has placed you in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a cosmetic thing. It's not just a, here's a pardon, I'll forgive you of all your sins, now you behave and we'll talk about taking you to heaven someday. That's not it at all. When we are saved, Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, it was going to be a radical change where God himself was going to invade their individual lives and make them part of him and part of Jesus Christ. And the only way they could illustrate that, the best way, was the head and the body. You don't have a person without a head, and a head's no good without a body. Can you see that? Flip over to Philippians. again, and I'm just trying to excite you to look more carefully at this and to look at your Bible in the future in these passages through this grid, through this dynamic relationship, this oneness that we have, because we are organically and spiritually infused into God, and God is infused into us, and nothing can separate us. We enjoy a relationship with God that is modeled after the relationship God enjoys with God. You see that? Now look, Paul, Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 16. He says, "It is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." He goes on to verse 15 to say, "You are the sons of God." That means that you are part of his family, and he has come to operate from within you, so that the God who has given us this book now lives within us to make this book operational in our lives. That's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. When he says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings," what he's saying is act out your new nature. That's what he's saying. Well, look at Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, you'll see this the same thing. Colossians chapter 1, Paul is talking about, well, in verse 27, read the verse, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." And that gives you hope or confidence of future glory. You are going to be glorified as Jesus Christ is glorified. You are going to share his glory. You're not just going to be forgiven, not just taken to heaven, not just perfected, but glorified. That's incredible. In chapter 3 of that same book, in verse 3, Paul says, this is Colossians 3:3, Paul says, "You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life..." It's not that he's the Savior sitting up on the throne and we're doing our best to live up to his expectations and ultimately be accepted by him. He is our life. He has come to live within us, and he is the one who energizes, the one who imparts to us the very life that we call the eternal life. He doesn't just give us a stamp on the back of the hand and turn us loose in the park and say, "Have a good time." But he enters into us and guides us through the whole park, so that the resources of God are implanted within us. The life that God enjoys is communicated to us, not by transfusion, but infusion. God himself becomes our life source. It's incredible. In Ephesians 1, the whole book of Ephesians grows out of this. Until we grasp this, we can't understand Ephesians. We can't participate in what Ephesians wants us to participate in, because the foundation of Ephesians is this unity in Christ and this relationship that is ours in Christ and how this dynamic relationship works. Okay? Verse 3, "God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, enjoys in heaven is ours. We are in him. And in him, we have absolute access to all those blessings. They are his. We share in them. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So the blessing of election rests upon us because of what God chose and what God did in Christ Jesus for us. And since we're in him, that affects us. Verse 5, having predestinated us in the adoption of children in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. The point is that since we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us, everything that Jesus has accomplished becomes ours. And God now treats us as he treats God the Son. And since the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, God the Father have come to dwell within us, then the same love that God the Father had for God the Son, he now has for you. I don't know how else to say that. It's systemic. It's not something that's attached. It's something that is vitalized from within. It's a part of you. It flows from the inside out. I remember an experience talking with a nursing mother, and she told me how if she ate garlic, it would affect her baby who was nursing. That somehow that garlic would go into her system and through her system and out through her system, become part of her, and then through the nursing process, the child would actually ingest that garlic. Well, the Holy Spirit comes inside us. God the Son comes inside of us to affect the milk of our lives. That's the point. And what Paul wants us to see is that since we are in Jesus Christ, everything that pertains to him, we share. I cannot experience anything with my head that it doesn't affect the rest of my body. Well, it excites me. Now, notice how Paul prays. Here's his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, to know more about God the Father. Why? Well, we'll see. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope of his calling, the calling that God accomplished in Jesus Christ. His calling. Well, since I am in Christ and Christ is in me, the benefits of that calling now flow to me, see. I'm caught up in all the blessings that Jesus Christ accomplished by fulfilling the calling of God upon him. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? His inheritance, not my inheritance. His inheritance. Since I'm connected to him, since I'm part of the bride and he's the bridegroom, I participate in his inheritance so that everything that God the Son inherits, I inherit in him. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? His power, not my power, his power. And yet his power becomes available to me because I'm connected in him. I'm united in him. And Paul says he prays that the believers will see that. And then he goes on to show how this vital connection in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in me, how this plays out. Look at it in chapter 2 and verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He has enlivened us with Christ, hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When? Now. Now. Right now. You are connected. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers, every name that can be named now, and in any future age. He is there now, and you are there now. You are in him. You're as good as home tonight. Can you see that? And when we come over then to chapter 4, when Paul begins here in chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What he's saying is, I want you to take that truth and let it be the basis of your life right now, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, what is the unity of the Spirit? It's the unity that the Spirit of God produces in the lives of believers who are co-connected to Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that there is one body, there is one Spirit. You are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. Every believer possesses these singular, unique qualities. One hope, all of us have the same hope. One body, we're all part of the same body. One Spirit, we're all indwelt with one Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one, but we are one with each other in our sharing in the one Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something that's future, that's now. That's right now. That's a oneness or a unity that exists right now. And it therefore ought to undergird and affect how we behave and how we treat each other, how we see each other. So later when Paul picks up these tough words like submission and love and honor, he has laid a foundation for it by showing us that our relationship with each other is no longer merely human. It's no longer just my wife and myself. That in loving her as Christ loved the church, I am fulfilling for her my equal in the faith. I am fulfilling her something that is worthy of her position. Why? Because she belongs to God. She's part of the body of Jesus Christ. She's sacred. She's special to God. And therefore, I ought to love her. It's my privilege to love her. And when Paul begins that whole passage by saying, begin by submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All human relationships that begin then in the body of Christ, recognizing that we have this mystic union, this one union, this one relationship, this true relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I should never do anything to you, my brother, that I wouldn't do to Jesus Christ. Never.
The Lord who infuses you with His life and power does the same with every member of the body. So we're all part of each other spiritually through Christ. This isn't a difficult truth for most of us, but maybe we don't hear it often enough. Today we enjoyed the middle third of a sermon that Jim calls How to Live Effectively, Part 2. If you'd like a copy of the message on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. For a contribution of $49 or more, you can own the complete set. Those 14 messages together are known as How to Live Effectively, Volume 1. Hang on one moment for ordering info. If this ministry seems like a beacon of light in the darkness, please realize that you can help keep it shining brightly. Right Start comes to you every day because of the prayers and generosity of your fellow listeners. Your contribution and prayers added to theirs would truly make a difference. Thank you for your help. You can call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. We're on the internet at rightstartradio.org. You'll find streaming audio there, both radio programs and full sermons. We give you a link to the podcast on iTunes so you can receive new Right Start shows automatically on your phone. We've got ways to donate and communicate with us and a lot more. Navigate to rightstartradio.org. And you can mail a donation or a note to Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Well, where is all this unity headed? It should be pointed to the center of the circle, shouldn't it? God Himself. Jim will wrap up this sermon tomorrow. Please join us then for Wednesday's Right Start.